When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name is Gavin Berry and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by David McCarthy and Andy Newport, where we can pick over the bones of Rangers' first Scottish League Cup final victory since 2011. Andy, Davey were both at Hampden covering the final 1-0 win over Aberdeen thanks to James Tavernier's only goal of the game. They were both there to witness it. Andy, I was reading your piece in the Record this morning. Your intro said Carlsberg weekends and all that. Of course, referencing the fact that Celtic had dropped points after a shock league defeat to Hearts on the Saturday. Now, although Rangers were playing in the Cup on the Sunday, how much do you think that result even just put a bit of pressure? It obviously gave everybody a lift. But, you know, when Celtic slipped up against Motherwell in the league recently, Rangers travelled to Aberdeen the following day. Pressure on to win, and they didn't get the win. So there was still a bit of pressure there, wasn't there?
Yeah, so it's not quite the same circumstances, because you remember that game up at Pittodrie came just after the team had lost, drawn at home to Limassol. So there was already a wee bit of a deflatory effect on the team after that result. But, you know, I think they came in for such a high off of that win in Spain this week. And, you know, like the confidence, I just can't imagine it's been any higher, certainly this season. You know, it's been, as we all know, it's been up and down season for Rangers this year. But for them to come away from that, topping a Europa League group, having chucked away sort of 5 points to the bottom seeds and still come out, managed to top it, getting that historic win in Spain, you know, I think it really did sort of boost the confidence levels. So, I mean, yeah, there was a bit of pressure going to Hampden, I think. You know, it's always a danger, you know, as I say, they're on a roll. Do they go there? Do they, you know, they're favourites for the game. If they slip up, if they lose the game, does that then, you know, rob some of the momentum that Felipe Clement has been sort of building into this squad? But, you know, to be fair, they handled it pretty well. I'm sure Davey will agree, it wasn't the best game of football you've ever seen. It was a bit of a grind, bit of a scrap, a battle. But Rangers got the job done, and then, you know, they say about finals are for winning, and Rangers got the job done, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, because, Davey, let's make no mistake about it. This group of players, their kind of bottle has been questioned. They won the league and then it was like they didn't kick on. And, you know, guys like Goldson and Tavernier, the match winner, it was like they've been labelled as sort of serial losers. How important was it, do you think? And how different? And, of course, Celtic being out the equation, having lost to Kilmarnock so early in the competition, I think Scott Brown had said when we were doing the PR, in the build-up to it, they're like, this is must-win, you know, this is must-win for this group of players. They handled it, didn't they?
They did, and it was must-win, because I think a defeat yesterday would have punctured a massive hole in their entire season. I think they would have found it really difficult to recover for that, particularly get into it in such a good place if they had lost the game. And let's face it, Aberdeen had already beaten them this season at Ibrox, albeit under Beal, and drawing with them at Pittodrie. So, you know, it wasn't a gimme, but I thought their attitude was absolutely spot on. They got kind of dragged into Aberdeen's kind of game in the first half. They had to play the game the way that Aberdeen played it, or wanted it played, and it was fairly brutal. It was just a kind of war of attrition, really. But I do think they put down a marker right for the start. I think with Lundstrom getting in and smashing Jamie McGowan and McGrath in the first couple of minutes, he should have been booked. There's absolutely no doubt about it. He should have been able to get away with that one, as Shinney then get away with a couple on the other side. But it became a bit of a kind of battle, and I think that suited Aberdeen better. But the second half, they really upped their game. I thought Cantwell demanded the ball far more, got on the ball far more, and started making things happen. And there's absolutely no doubt they deserve to win the game.
Yeah. See, we're saying, Davey, that, you know, they had to win it and it was must win because it could have punctured their season if they hadn't. So what is the flip side of that in the fact they did go and win it, the fact that the mentality of this group of players has been questioned a lot what can that lifting that trophy and just taking that final step, what can it do for them?
I think when you look back at Ange Postecoglou's first season at Celtic, they won the League Cup within the first few months, and it gave the entire squad and the support a complete buy-in to what that guy was trying to achieve across the city. I think it will do exactly the same for Clermont at Ibrox. You know, I mean, the early signs have been encouraging anyway, but that's something tangible now that he's got. He's actually got that big lump of silverware. And I think that the belief will just continue to grow from that. I also think it's absolutely brilliant that they've got another game immediately coming up against St Johnston. They'll know fine. They win that, they go, 2 points behind with a game in hand in the league. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a title race that's on. And when you consider that there were seven behind Celtic when Clermont walked in the door, you know, I don't think there's anything but positivity can be taken from what happened on Sunday.
Yeah. Davey, I remember we sat on this podcast, I think it was me, you and Fraser Wilson, I think, actually, 2 days after the defeat to Aberdeen that proved the end for Michael Beale, and we were talking about who the next manager would be. I mean, rewind to that weekend in September when Aberdeen won 3-1, I think. 3-1. Mm-hmm. And Beale was sacked the following night. And, you know, rewind just to that Monday morning when we were talking, and just what the new manager would inherit and how well Philip Clermont has done to walk in and be 15 games unbeaten and land a trophy.
It's not even just that, though. It's the problems that he's had to contend with. Not just the fact that he was walking in with a team whose morale was on the floor, but the number of injuries that he's had to contend with as well. You know, I mean, it's been right throughout the team, been one thing after the other, and he's always found a way to put a team on the park that that continues to win games. And, you know, and I know that there are guys like, you know, like Dessers, who, you know, he's been getting slaughtered, let's face it. But there are definitely signs in the last 2 or 3 games that there might just be somebody in there that, and he's had to play him because Danilo's injury, Kemar Roof's not quite up to scratch yet, fitness-wise. But, you know, he's kind of shown that he's got something about him. He's discovered in the last two games, that Dujon Sterling can be a very, very effective midfield player, which, again, you know, nobody realised that guy had that in his locker. But he's shown, and again, that's been through necessity because there have been so many midfield players are out. Otherwise, Clermont might not have ever known that because he would never have put him in there. But he's now, like Sterling's now very much a viable option in the middle of that park as well. So, as I say, I think the signs are really, really good. But they'll also realise that Celtic will come back from the dip that they're in just now. There's no doubt about that either. They'll come again. And so anybody thinking that Rangers are going to go on and win the league at a canter or whatever, then that's clearly not going to happen. But they're in the thick of the fight, and they would have signed up for that when Clermont walked in the door 65 days ago.
Yeah, Andy, Davey's right. And funnily enough, Graeme Souness was talking earlier on Talk Sport, and that's exactly what he was saying. In fact, I've got his quote in front of me. He says, you hear it often trotted out. Talk about manager, they play the game the right way. But what Clermont has realised, said Souness, is you have to get the best out of everyone that you're working with. And that's what he's doing. You know, he's mixing up. He said, it's not always rolled out from the back and tippy-tappy stuff in the 18-yard line. Sometimes you just have to, you know, go long or you know, just make do with what you've got. And that's what he's done well, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, there's been certainly been times where he's looked a bit frazzled with the whole thing, you know, like, you know, when the injuries just keep on coming. And, you know, I think it would be easy for him to just, you know, get a wee bit frustrated and chuck the toys out of the pram a wee bit and, you know, have a bit of a meltdown. But he's not. Davey's absolutely right. He's just got on with it. He's, you know, okay, it's a problem. Fix it. Let's try and find the solution. And that's what he's done so far. I mean, you can't argue with me, as you say. You know, Davey said absolutely right. I mean, I think Dujon Sterling, for me, was man of the match at the weekend alongside Tavernier. The two of them were the pick of the bunch. Mm-hmm. You know, even when he came on, I'm sure they wouldn't want to throw him on quite as early as they did in Seville last week, but he comes on at half-time, and I was kind of expecting this guy just to sit in and just sort of hold his position, just try and be that sort of defensive blocker. But no, he had that Ranger running, he was getting forward, he was contributing in the attack in the final third. So, you know, again, Davey's absolutely right. This is a guy that you're now looking at going, well, he's a proper option in the midfield. He's not just a guy who's going to go in there and just, you know, look to sort of shut up shop. He's going to look to play. I thought he was terrific yesterday. You know, even the fact that, you know, Dessers, as Davey says again, like, you know, I think it would all sort of written off his Rangers career. You're thinking he's going to be one of the guys that they're going to try and look to get out the door come next month. But, you know, you look at the way he takes that goal the other night over in Seville. Fantastic finish. You know, he's about an inch away from doing the same yesterday. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still think this is a guy that has got a long, long way to go to prove himself, but at least he's contributing now, and that's what Rangers need. They need guys, if they're in a jersey, to be contributing for a long time. The likes of, you know, Lammers and Dessers just weren't doing that. They were just empty jerseys with effect, but now at least he's getting a turn out of them. He's getting a performance out of them, and it's all adding into the collective, you know, endeavour of the team. And that's the big thing that I think Clemonka has been trying to push home. This isn't just a group of individuals now. It's a team effort. Even if you're not in the team, you're going to be contributing. If you're on the bench, he wants you to be shouting, supporting your teammates, getting off the bench, screaming, shouting, letting them know if there's a man on. And all those little things, they add up. All these 1%, they add up. And right now, they're adding up to the right number for Rangers.
Yeah, Andy, I mean, I don't know if you read the interview he did in Belgium, albeit this was, I think, before the cup final, but as the kind of quotes have come out today, just about how much he's loving life in Glasgow and life as Rangers manager. You know, he compared it to Monaco, where he's seen, you know, he could be anonymous, and here anywhere he goes, well, we know what it's like. You know, we all know what it's like. But how much do you think he's just the right fit? You would have watched him more closely yesterday and then in his press conference and yesterday and speaking to him, but he just seems to get it, doesn't he? He just seems to get the whole thing.
For me, he's mentioned the Monaco thing a few times since he's come over here. Like, I don't think he enjoyed the fact that, you know, Monaco is a lovely place to live. you're doing well if you can get yourself a move over there. But I don't think you'd say it's a footballing hotbed. It's not got that sort of passion that obviously Glasgow is so famous for with both halves of the old firm. So I think that's what he's enjoying. It's bringing the best out of him, and in turn, he's getting the best out of his team. I think you need to be a big character to be Rangers manager. I think if you think of all the sort of guys that have been successful Rangers managers, they've always been strong, you know, no nonsense sort of type individuals. And I think he fits into that bill. He's somebody who basically, when he speaks, you have to listen. When he asks you to do something, his word goes. And so far, Rangers, it's working for Rangers. You know, I'm sure there will be bumps in the road, and I think he made a point yesterday saying what this initial period done is get the fans back on side, because there's no doubt, I think the fans had it with this team only, you know, 8 weeks ago. I think they were ready to wave goodbye to half the squad, if not more. They'd seen them fail too many times and they were losing interest, and now the support are fully on board with not only the manager, but you can see even signs of them sort of growing back in love with certain players. You know, John Lundstrom would have been one of the guys again who just looked like his career at Rangers was about to fizzle out. Now they're singing his song again. We've heard it a couple of times. I heard it over there in Seville last week. So, you know, I think the fact that he's now got this rapport with the fans again, and that's going to be important when the difficult moments come, because there will be, you know, it's unlikely he's going to go the season unbeaten. It's unlikely there's not going to be more sort of bumps in the road, but at least now the fans understand what the manager's want to do, and they know that he's capable of getting results, and they've got faith in him. I mean, I think that's really what had disappeared from the Rangers fan base, faith and trust in this squad and the manager, Michael Beale, previously. So that's now back, and, you know, that's going to be crucial in the hard months to come, because I tell you what, now, as much as he's under pressure, being Rangers manager, the pressure only grows the more that you get into a title race. And for much of this season, the title race has been, you know, it looked like it was gone. You know, I think most people have written it off. Now the pressure's really going to come, because there's something tangible for Rangers to chase after.
I think that works both ways, though, Andy. Sorry, Gav. It works both ways on the Rangers side of the city and the other side of the city. Because let's see how Celtic now handle the fact that they're in a title race, because they haven't been in a title race for quite a long time. You take away the Gerrard season where Rangers won the league.
It wasn't a title race that year either.
That's right. So Celtic have not actually been involved in a proper title race for a wee while. And I've just got a feeling it'll be interesting to see how they handle it and how the Celtic support handles it, because by all accounts on Saturday, they didn't handle it very well. So, you know, so I think there is pressure, but the pressure's going to be on both sides of the city. And, do you know, that's what Scottish football has been lacking for such a long time, is an absolute proper title race where two Old Firm teams going at it head-to-head of a similar standard, which I now believe that they are, and we'll see who comes out on top. But the mentality thing is going to be absolutely crucial. And all the signs so far is that certainly Clement has got the mentality. And listen, we know that Brendan Rodgers is an elite manager as well. He may be going through a rocky stage at the minute, but the fact is, you know, he's done it. He's been there and done it at Celtic, and they'll come back as well. So I think that we're in for an absolute belter a second half of the season.
Absolutely. Sorry, Dave, I was just going to say, as I was looking out the window, I was going to ask you, Govan or Monaco, if you were given the choice?
I think there'll be a couple of months in Monaco, but I'll be back for the end of the title race.
No, we talk about pressure, Davey. I mean, James Tavernier, a couple of £100,000. He's a guy that when they're going through sticky spells, you know, you see people saying he is part of the problem. This guy's not a captain. And then you see what he did yesterday and, you know, and then the opinion changes. You know, he was described as a living legend yesterday. The criticism during the tough times, do you think unfair? Did he offer a reminder again yesterday of just how much Rangers owe him?
Do you know, I don't think he had anything to prove because, and I've said this all the way along, Tavernier's journey at Ibrox is that when he first came into the place defensively, he was ropey. And he's still not the best defender in the world, but he offers so much to that team. And it doesn't need to be a badge-thumping captain because he does it, he leads by example time and time again. He gets them out of trouble, whether he's assisting goals or scoring goals. And there are no all penalties either, as we know fine well. But 114 goals in 8 seasons. I hate this tag that he got of being a serial loser because you don't get to become the captain of Rangers and leading them now to, you know, also a European final if you're a serial loser. You just don't. I thought the criticism of him was really, really unfair. And, you know, thankfully now I think more people are coming into that way of thinking that, no, this is a guy that deserves his place in any Rangers Hall of Fame that you might want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Andy, Aberdeen obviously was a sore one for them. Would have fancied their chances. A lot of the fans unhappy at the kind of the performance of the team. But I don't know if you've read on the official Aberdeen website their match report from the game. Let me just read you a couple of lines. First of all, let me just... There's a few refereeing...
Yeah, I suspect I'm about to get thrown under a bus here. I think this is what Davey's teeing up to do. This is going to be a social media grab. I can see this already. My mentions going off the chat.
There have been decisions that have been debated. Okay, Todd, let's go. The main one is that Todd Cantwell seemed to have the shirt of Gartman, who conceded the penalty against Rangers at Pittodrie for something very similar. And people are asking, what is the difference? How did VAR spot one and not spot the other? Did you see a difference?
Yeah, I don't think the ball was in play yet. I think that was a big difference. And, you know, I was at a Hampden briefing only a couple of weeks ago where they went through these kind of incidents. And the important thing to remember about these incidents is what the referees are taking into account is the ball going to land with the infringement took place? Is it going to is the jersey pull stopping the player getting to the ball? In the sense that is the ball even going to reach where he is?
Right.
And then also, you know, and how long is the grab? I think, you know, listen, I think we all agree the incident up at Pittodrie was soft. I don't think it was you know, by the letter of the law, yeah. I think I said at the time when we were on the pod that I think if you have those kind of incidents, you're going to have 10 penalties a game. I don't think that's what VAR should be for. I think it should be howlers. I don't think that one at the weekend comes even close to a howler from Don Robinson. You know, the ball wasn't anywhere near Gartman when Cantwell has his jersey for all of, you know, a second. I don't think it had a material impact on Gartman get to the ball. So I don't think, I really just don't think it's an issue.
No. Okay, I don't know if you saw Aberdeen's match report, but they had a dig at Cantwell saying that he needed a repair to his headband after a shinny challenge, a high boot from Cantwell, clean Clarkson out halfway. They talk about Seymour's theatrical dives. There's plenty in there. And then right at the end, then that's the other instance. So there's two, you've explained the Cantwell one, you've cleared that up. Right at the end, injury time, Butland on Duke. Did you think there was anything in that?
I've only seen it back once, I must admit. And I'd like another look at it, let me put it this way. So but I think that's where I was speaking to somebody earlier on this morning where I said, I don't think Rubicic and Duke helped the situation because they react and it then draws the attention away. They react to something Balogun said and it draws the referee and VAR's attention away from what is potentially a penalty incident into the sort of off the ball stuff. And yeah, again, you know, that's not what VAR should be able to look at more than one incident at a time. I just think Barry Robson would have preferred them to just have their minds in the game rather than try to, you know, have a Barney in the final minute of a cup final. So, I would have liked another look at it. On the basis that I haven't had the best view of it, but I don't know what Davey thinks or yourself, if you've seen it clearer than I have.
No, I think you've covered it, Andy. That's fine. Yeah, David, in all seriousness, David, to go back to the title race, you've mentioned it. You mentioned that earlier, and the psychology of it all. I mean, two games in hand. First of all, Rangers play St Johnstone in midweek. They have a trip to Motherwell. There are other games before it, but looking to that Old Firm game on December 30. You know, if you go back a few weeks ago, there was a time when you thought Rangers would be going to that game knowing defeat would really end any kind of league challenge. I think unless there's a total collapse in the games between now and then, there's nothing to suggest that. They're certainly going to be getting into that game in a totally different mindset. How much will that just change the approach and the psychology of it all and put the pressure onto Celtic, possibly?
I think it's now a completely different game. I think anybody who had been looking at that logically a fortnight ago would have been saying Rangers have to go to Celtic Park and probably not just not lose, but actually win the game. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that the result at Celtic Park on December the 30th will have a material effect on where the title goes. Obviously, both teams will be absolutely desperate to win, but I think if either team loses, it's not the end of the league campaign. Whereas up until a couple of weeks ago, I would have said if Rangers had lost, it would have been the end of the league campaign. So in that respect, it's kind of different. I don't think for a minute that Rangers will go there and just try and shut up shop and get away with a nothing each or something like that. I just don't think that that's the way that, you know, if Clermont can take an injury hit team to Seville and beat Betis, then he'll fancy his chances going to Celtic Park and getting a win. Similarly, he'll look and see, well, you know, a Hearts team went to Celtic Park and beat them. So there is a real chance to go there and win the game. Celtic as well, though, will be looking at it as, you know, it's time to make another statement because they've obviously hit a rocky patch and there's nothing will get their fans back on side more than, you know, giving one to Rangers. So that's basically the situation. I think it'll be a really open game, actually. I think it'll be a really good game. I don't think it's going to decide anything.
Andy, you were at Ibrox for the first derby of the season. It was almost a role reversal. Rangers were under the pressure. Celtic were struggling with injuries. Remember the starting lineup that Brendan Rodgers had, and that you said that what you heard at full time was, I think, some of the worst that you'd heard before. Can Rangers just flip that on its head and do the same? Should they be playing on that?
That's what the potential there is. You know, if they can go there and get a result, you know, listen, the atmosphere that day, Ibrox was, as you say, was the most toxic I think I've ever seen in, you know, 20 odd years of going to Ibrox. I don't think I've ever seen a reaction as vitriolic, as angry, as just, you know, it almost just outrage. I mean, just like it was mutinous. I mean, you know, the players were getting it, Beale was getting it, the board was getting it. You know, it was just the fans had had enough, as I said earlier on. So, and I think you're seeing across the city a lot of the fans get to that stage. You know, the recruitment over there, I mean, we spoke so much in this podcast just about how bad Rangers recruitment has been over the last couple of years. Well, I mean, you look at Celtic's recruitment in the summer and it's, you know, it's not much better. I mean, I think what was it? I think they had Kwon in the bench for the first time in months and Palma, and they were the only of the two of the summer imports that they were included. So, you know, obviously they've not had the sort of summer or the rebuild that they were looking for after Ange Postecoglou's departure. Obviously, Brendan Rodgers coming in. You know, he's obviously had a tremendously successful career, a hugely successful last spell at Celtic. But you've got to say that I don't think Brendan Rodgers really ever had that much of an opponent to face. You know, and you're talking about a Graham Murty Rangers, a Pedro Caixinha Rangers. I mean, you know, that's what I think the Rangers fans will excite them, is that now, okay, let's see what he's made of when he's got some proper competition, because the Rangers teams back then weren't worthy of the name. That's not what this club has been sort of built on, having guys like that representing them and the teams that they were able to put out at this time. This now, I mean, I still don't think, the interesting thing about this is I don't think it's a great Celtic side, and it's absolutely not a great Rangers side. I mean, I think the whole standard of Scottish football this season has declined a wee bit. I think, you know, across the leagues, there's not many teams in the Premiership that you're saying have improved from last year. Maybe St Mirren, you know, maybe Dundee, obviously Dundee coming up, and, you know, beyond that, you know, St George's have had a wee bit of a better time of late, but, you know, it's pretty poor stuff in general. But, you know, if Rangers can go there, get a result, and just as you say, heap all that pressure back onto Brendan Rodgers, then Davey's right, it'll be interesting to see how they react. What do they do in January? What does it do for their mental state? What does it do for, you know, guys that are not getting games? Do they start, you know, kicking off? Does that impact the spirit in their dressing room? So all these sort of things that were going on when Rangers were under the cosh, it's now going to be interesting to see how Celtic handle that.
Yeah. Okay then, David, just finally, after that game, it won't be immediately after that game, but we'll shortly go into a winter break after that. Transfer window will be open. Philip Clement has not had any of his own players yet. As we've touched on here, he's been working with players who were previously underachieving and he's getting the best out of them. Where do you think he should be looking to strengthen, you know, when the window opens, if he's bringing in his own? Where would you want to strengthen?
Absolutely a striker. I just don't think that, even when Danilo's back, mm-hmm. I'm still not 100% convinced that he's the guy that they need to finish off the numerous chances that are being created. Mm-hmm. You know, Dessers has got better, as we were talking about there, but he's still not really anywhere close to being what you would want. So I think getting a striker in January, though, is not going to be easy, because if anybody's half decent, their clubs are not going to want to sell them. But I think that will absolutely be his priority. It'll also be interesting to see whether he can bring back the likes of Hadji. That would give him another option in the final third of the pitch, obviously not as a centre forward, but you know, perhaps on that right hand side, or he can play the 10 role. So that's an interesting one as well. But I think he'll be looking to absolutely bring in a striker.
Brilliant. Okay, Davey, thanks a lot for that. Andy, thanks a lot for your time as well. And we'll see how it goes on Wednesday and then first part on Christmas Eve.
That's it. See you
Thank there. You. Thanks.